Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Balak. Let's start with three stories. The first story is about Rav Zalman Brazil, and he was somebody who would get up daily at a set time, 2.5 hours before the morning, really was the morning, to learn be Osek in Avodas Hashem. And he didn't really waver from it. So when he was older, there was a family simcha, and as you know, simchas go, it went late into the night. And the family members saw that he was setting his alarm clock for the same 2.5 hours before morning. And they said, Abba, why are you going to get up so early? You know, you have a little bit more, you're not going to be able to sleep. When are you planning to get up? And he answered, he said, you know, it's true. He said, I need to get up. He said, what's your story? When are you planning to get up? The father asked back. And he said, well, I'm actually planning to get up at, I need to get up at 4 to work at the bakery. There's lots of orders, and I need to get up there early so I can, you know, to get make sure I get everything done, get all my work done. So the father said, now there's the answer to your question, said Rav Zalman. He said, look, I also have a lot of work tomorrow. I have Mishnayus, I have Gemara, I have Halacha, I have Sifrei Musar, and my boss doesn't let me delay anything. So that's the idea. There's a story about Elia Lapian. Similar story told by Rav Moshe Aaron Stern. Said when he was a bacher, he went to go visit Rav Lapian in the morning to bring him breakfast. And it was clear that Rav Lapian was very, very old. And when he asked him, why you're so tired, he said, it's because he gets up, you know, so early, an early time, well before Alos HaShachar. And I asked him, so why do you need to get up so early? Zman Tefillah in the yeshiva is at 7 in the morning. Like, you could sleep a little more. And Rav Lapian answered as follows. He says, look, in the Sfarim it says, when a neshama gets to the Olam Elyon, they're going to ask him, did you fulfill the Torah in the mitzvos? And then they're going to take him and review the 4 Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, and then ask seif after seif, if this neshama fulfilled what it said there. And the beginning of this inquiry is going to begin with Orach Chaim. And is it not true that Orach Chaim begins with Yiska Berka Ari La'amod Baboker La'avodas Borosh Yehu Me'orer HaShachar? Does it not say that one should be strong in the morning to get up to serve Hashem, that you're going to wake the morning and the morning will not wake you? It is understood that it is not pleasant for a person to fail this test, right? And it would be pretty bad to miss the first question. So therefore, I get up early so that at the very least, with respect to the first sifs of Shulchan Aruch, I can say, Ashsisi kechol asher tzivisani, I did all that you have commanded me. Now, there's a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So those two obviously are related to Amkla v'Yakum that's in the Parsha. There's a story about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that relates a little bit to the idea of Tov Ayin and the opposite. So it says, Rav Shlomo Zalman, one day, one of the Rabbanim of the yeshiva got a new home, and Rav Shlomo Zalman came to visit him at the new home. And when he got there, he basically kept going from room to room, and he looked in each room. Afterward, said some bracha and then left. So on the way, one of the Talmidim asked, kind of astonished, well, what was the idea? Basically, Rosh Hashiva's kind of snooping around, you know, and obviously you're very, very careful with the way that you spend your time. Also, was it for the kavod of the Baal HaBayis, so that you could see and then give a bracha? And Rosh Shlomo Zalman responded, look, I wanted to look ba'ayin tova at every spot in the house, because this is the idea. when somebody looks at something with Ayin Tova, bracha falls in everything that that they look at. So it's just, look, I can't explain the mechanics. I can't do much more than say that if it's important to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, it's something that we should give great consideration to, is that the way that we look at things and the attitude with which we take our vision is something which could be strongly impactful. So now we say, Nu'um Bilam Beno Ba'or. All of Parshas Balak, we see, this is the Chafetz Chaim, all of Parshas Balak, there's no breaks. There's no psucha, there's no stuma that's separating from one matter to another. So what's the idea? Well, we know all the way back in Vayikra that a space could be revach ben aparshios, so time to think in between one matter and another. But by Bilam, even though that he was a Navi, and a great Navi at that, his Nevuah didn't really affect him. And he didn't learn from it at all. So that's why the Parsha doesn't stop. So this is, obviously, this Chafetz Chaim is a great muster for us today, as we're really struggling as a people with all the beeps and the buzzes and the busyness that we're encountering. And what we learn from the Chafetz Chaim is we need revach ben aparshios, lizbonim. So a beautiful, beautiful idea about matovu alecha. We know that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the o'alecha and the mishkanos are the batei knesios and the batei midrashos. So there's a beautiful idea by the Tiferes Shlomo in Parshas Lech Lecha, and he is addressing the pasuk in Parshas Kisitze, where it says, "V'lo ava Hashem Elokecha lishmo el Bilam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't listen to Bilam. V'yafoch Hashem Elokecha as a brocha lecha as a klala lebrocha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the brocha, the klala to a brocha. So the Tiferes Shlomo says, "Well, hold on. How do we know if it's a bracha or a klala?" Bilam thought, when he wanted to curse them, he said, the Jewish people should be stuck in shuls and bate medrash, because he was a baltaiva. And if you're locked up in these houses of worship and houses of study all day, you wouldn't be able to go and pursue your taivas, right? If you're busy in all this stuff, then you're going to have a life of no pleasure. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that intention and turned that klala into a bracha. How did he do that? Because Avram Avinu went to Ur Kasdim, and Avram Avinu changed basically the nature and set the standard for all of Klal Yisrael that a Jewish goof gets Hana'a from Ruchnius. We get pleasure from spiritual manners, and a trip to the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos, the study houses and the places of worship, are a geschmack for us. And that's how Bilam's perspective got turned on its head. Now, let's turn to three beautiful Altar of Kelms here. Each very, very impactful. So the first one is when it comes in Chav Beis Lamed Beis, it says that this is in the name of the Magi Miduvna. So Ki Yorat Haderech Lenegdi. So Rashi here says that it was a no trikon, it was an acrostic. Yira Ra'asa, Yarat, Netasa, and then it turned. So it saw Yira. So the Magid Miduvna says, the truth of the matter is that animals don't have the same sort of natural fears, right? They don't have the same sort of natural fears, at least with respect to people. But the yira that they could have with a person is coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia on them to fear. Just like a candle, when it falls from light, so a person will see or not see. And the same thing is when the land gets sunshine on it. So the yira of a person will shine on that animal. And we see that in the pasuk, "Ra'u kol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha." So the oson, when its eyes were open, it was the yira of the malach that came on it. And the same thing, this idea is found in the gro gabe tzadikim, because a tzadik is like a full kli, and when you pour water in it, the water overflows. And that's the way that yira shemayim comes from a tzaddik into his surroundings. And I can attest to that. And you can feel very palpably the difference of where you daven, where you learn, whether or not there's yira shemayim there. And it's always very important to have a place that will lift you up. I've had the zechus of that experience and the zechus of not having that experience in some places as well. And that can make all the difference. The Pia Oson is listed it's listed in the things that were created Bein HaShemoshos. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already doing crazy miracles anyway. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just simply decide that it was Kedai to make a miracle here? Well, the Altar of Kelm says that it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to minimize Nisim and maximize Teva. And we have this medrash that says that the Oson died immediately after doing its shlichus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mama'it, wants to minimize Nisim. The way I like to explain this is, who has more sensitivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Somebody who sees a Nes Nigler or a Nes Nister, right? Is it somebody who needs something banging over their head to notice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there? Or alternatively, is it somebody who can look up the chain of causation, the Sibos and the Sibos as Sibos and the Sibos as Sibos as Sibos, as Rabbeinu Bachya says, and look all the way up and say, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. That's obviously a better thing. That's why we want more things to occur in the Derech HaTeva. One more. It's really remarkable that Bilam says, V'yan Bilam, lo uchal la'avor es pi Hashem. He says that I cannot violate Kodesh Baruch Hu's word. So if that's true, then he already knew that everything was from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the only thing really left for him was to mibavatel his ratzon, and that was the darga that that the Avos had. The Avos were willing to be mevatel their ratzon and say, I accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu's ratzon b'shtei yadayim and wholeheartedly. So that's just an important thing for us, is that, like, when we look at the last parak of Shar Bitachon, like, the highest darga is somebody who says, I just want to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam, I accept whatever you want, as opposed to the person who says, I attribute this to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and I'll accept it. So let's do one last excursus. This is kind of a fun topic to discuss with our families. And the question is, the Oton, this donkey, what language did it speak in? V'yiftach Hashem es pi ha'oson. So it's clear, it seems like it's speaking, but in what language does it speak? So the first thing is to dispel two ideas that are found in the Abarbanel, but the Abarbanel rejects with Charifus, and says they are basically worthless opinions. The first one is that this whole thing was his dream that he had when he went to sleep at night. The second one is he must have fallen asleep when he was in the derech. Neither of that makes sense. So next up is the Ibn Ezra. And Ibn Ezra says, this is completely fallacious, he sides along with the Abarbanel. So next, the Zohar Kadosh says that it must have been that the Malach spoke in Lashon HaKodesh, and Rav Yonasan Eifshitz in Tiferes Yonasan says you need to say that the Malach spoke in Hebrew. Similarly, Rabbeinu Bechaya ben Usher says it has to be in Hebrew. Next is the opinion of the Malbim, and it says when this happened, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Koach. It might have been that it could have been through a ruach or a shade, because the ruach and the shadim were also made bein hashmashos. Next opinion is the Psikta Zutarsa that says that they actually spoke in the lashon of Bilam. The Oton would not speak Hebrew, but whatever, probably some sort of Aramaic, was whatever Bilam said, and that is also found in the Tiferes Yonasan as a possibility as well. Finally, the Or HaChaim says that the Oson had a Koach HaDibur, but the voice itself was that of a Malach. It was just this time where Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it Koach HaDibur, but it didn't give it all of the whole voice and all of those characteristics. So, Tzarech Iyun, similarly, this could go out for the discussion of the Nachash. Ayin Sham. Thank you for learning with me.